broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Monday morning, May the 24th, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. And we're going to be joined by a very special guest here this morning who will arrive shortly. But this is a kind of an auspicious day, and I was reminded of this this morning. Really, a gentleman who was a dear friend of mine, and without this station, there would be no station, to be perfectly honest with you. He was with us from the beginning. Charlie Evers passed away 1 year ago today. I can't believe it's been a year. That's unbelievable to me. But I can honestly say, without Charlie Evers, there would not have been this station. It wouldn't have happened, because everybody knew who Charlie was. Everybody liked to listen to Charlie. They still like to listen to Charlie. We're so glad we can still air those repeats. And it's hard to believe it's been a year. He worked right up until the end. His last show was April the 8th, 2020, and left us a year ago today. But I do know that wherever Charlie is today, because of his immense curiosity, he is still asking questions, he's still looking for answers, and he's still interested in everything that he comes across. So what we're going to do this morning, in honor of Charlie Evers, marking the 1 year, I don't think you call it an anniversary, commemoration, 1 year commemoration of the passing of Charlie, is 1 year ago, we put together an audio obituary on Charlie, and I think it just has some of the best highlights of his career here with us. And his career, of course, went more than 50 years, but the 6 years he was with us, here are some of the best moments that we had with Charlie here on this station. So this is what we aired 1 year ago when Charlie left us. So in remembrance of Charlie, wherever you are, I hope you enjoy this. We have not played this in a year. So this is a look back at the career of Charlie Evers here on WWGH Radio today, the 1 year commemoration of his passing. Here we go.
Charlie Evers was born on September 21st, 1934. He was destined to become one of Marion, Ohio's most famous radio personalities with a career that spanned more than 50 years. Charlie's accomplishments were numerous, such as bike rides across Ohio for the American Cancer Society, creating Ohio's favorite weather forecaster, Buckeye Chuck, raising money to rebuild an arena that had burned down at the fairgrounds, which is now known as Evers Arena, and finding Lady Justice, which sits atop the Marion County Courthouse, and returning her after an absence of nearly 30 years. Here is Charlie talking with the man who stole Lady Justice, Richard Carey, in an interview from 2015.
There was some knowledge of it. I don't know if Charlie had knowledge when I talked to you at the elevator that maybe I had it.
That day at the elevator, every Tuesday, farmers gathered for coffee at the Green Camp Cooperative Elevator. And I never forget, in that course of drinking coffee, somebody said, "Hey, Carey, when are you going to give that statue back to Evers?"
Well, no.
And your face turned red.
No, I'm black color.
Yeah, all right.
No.
Charlie came to WWGH Radio in June 2014 and became one of the main factors in the success of this station. Here is a clip from Charlie's first show, June 11th, 2014.
Well, I'm Charlie Evers, and this is the first time on my program here. I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. I have no guest today. That is reserved for next week, and I'll either have Fred Malone or George Kasotis on next week. And today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions. Of course, I've got a lot of things I can tell you, too. Now, the interesting thing is, on Facebook, when you run across crowds of youngsters or teenagers, they're all... Oh, I think we have a call already.
Charlie was very well known for broadcasting from the Marion County Fair. Here is Charlie broadcasting from the fair in 2015.
Now, we have royalty. Oh, my
yes,
goodness.
Yes, we do.
Allen County Fair. Medina. Yes, come around.
40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, gives her thoughts on Charlie's career during an interview in September of 2019.
Did you listen to Charlie on the air?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Legend.
Yeah, legend. Old-timer. That's it. Yeah. Legend. Yeah. Right.
Charlie had a tremendous sense of humor, as on display here from the WWGH Christmas Party broadcast in 2016.
We have Sean Kraft, Santa Claus, and Charlie Evers. We'll be joined by the music of the Lesickney Brothers. How are you doing tonight, Charlie?
Is it Lesickney? What was it?
Oh, here we go. Lesickney. Lesickney. Lesickney.
Okay, well, I'll ask them when they come in.
If you think that'll help, we'll work on it. Santa Claus, you are kind of the man of the hour tonight.
Oh yes.
It's exciting for you to be here.
How are you? Boy, he's really talkative. Yeah.
I didn't realize how hard it is to wear headphones with a Santa hat. It's a horrible thing. Santa, this is your big... Forget it. Give us a nice introduction for your favorite group.
Yes, I think they're such a group that they deserve to have a magazine story written about them. The Now I call them Lesickney.
Lesickney, right? Lesickney. Yeah, Lesickney. Lesickney.
Lesickney.
Lesickney. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
The Lesickney family.
Yeah. They're great.
Yes, here, let's hear them. Introduce the audience again to our favorite group.
Yes, that's my favorite group, Let Her Rip.
Well, who are they?
I never before had trouble pronouncing names. Well, let's just say Lesickney.
Let's say it. The Lesickney family.
Okay, Lesickney. All right.
There were many special moments on air at WWGH Radio, including a phone call from his wife, Jeannie, that his daughter, Amy, had just given birth to his grandchild, Reed, in 2014.
Well, we're coming up near break time right now, and after that, we're going to come back. Would you mind if I answer this phone here? This might be from... Hello? Good morning. Just a second. Yeah, go ahead. The baby is here.
Fellow radio broadcasting legend Jeff Ruth comments on Charlie's career in 2019.
He's one of the, like, Cher. You don't need a last name. You say Charlie. Everybody knows Charlie. Just obviously people are going to remember him from, you know, the number of things that he's been involved in and the, you know, the thousands and thousands of dollars he's raised for good causes.
Charlie chatted with many celebrities on air over the years at WWGH Radio, including Lulu Roman from the hit TV series Hee Haw.
Okay, we're back for our last segment here with Lulu Roman. Lulu Roman from Hee Haw. Whoa, she used to jump up out of the cornfields, remember that? Did you jump up with somebody else?
Yep.
Who was that?
They put up all of us, you know.
Okay.
One time or another, we were with everybody.
Sure, I remember. Yeah. Now I can see it. Yeah. Right. Oh, boy.
Okay.
And David Newell, better known as Mr. McFeely, the postman from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Boy, I tell you, this is, for me, has been a great thrill. It always is to see him, Mr. McFeely, and I can relive my past.
Well, so we're about to sign, ready to sign off?
We're anytime you want.
Okay. Well, then, Charlie, you do the honors. This is your show. It's been my honor to be here, and I'm glad you're promoting the Strasburg Railroad,
yes,
too.
Exactly.
That's in Pennsylvania, my home state. So it's been a pleasure being here. I hope I'm back for the parade next year, and we'll do it even bigger and better.
You're up, yes.
Okay. So you take it away,
yep,
Charlie.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
Speedy delivery.
Charlie broadcasts live from the streets of his hometown of Bucyrus, Ohio, during the Bratwurst Festival in 2018.
Well, let's see. Right now it's 12:54, and we're here at the Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival. We're on the main drag, you might say. It's not a drag, but it's the main street here. And we're kind of like surrounded by concessions. We're straight across the street from the one out of Columbus, the famous one with their Bahama Mamas.
Bahama Mama.
Schmitz, yeah.
Charlie's last broadcast was on April 8th, 2020. Here is the beginning of that program.
And good morning to one and all. I'm back for today. And I might mention that. My arm has healed up. I've grown a new layer of skin, which old-timers like me have to be aware of if you fall or do anything, that your skin is the first to go. And so that's all taken care of. And now I'm just tired. I'm wore out. And so I'll be here today. And who knows, I'll show up here every now and then, perhaps. Maybe by phone. Oh, gosh. I tell you, it's so kind of nice, though, that you live this long, you know, 85 years. There are backdrops or backfalls to all that, because as you get older, you know, you kind of frizzle away. Marge Hazlett, you know, of course, Marge had a cancer, and she was getting treatments so many times a week for her cancer. So she had a reason, or there was a reason within her body that she passed away. But, so I feel like kind of like Marge did a long time ago.
During Charlie's 85th birthday celebration, which was on air on WWGH Radio, station manager Scott Spears spoke of Charlie's importance to WWGH.
But, and I will say, and I think on behalf of everybody at this station, I don't think this station would have ever been around 5 years later if it hadn't been for Charlie, because people like to listen to him, and that's why he's always in the repeats, and we've taped everything he's ever done here, so it'll be on forever and ever.
What a life, what a career, what a broadcaster. There will never be anyone like him again. Charlie summed up his life in this clip from 2019.
You know, curiosity has been my big thing. I once was at a railroad crossing, and I saw what looked like vandals had strung beads of paint all over the place. And so on the air, I said, boy, you should see what some vandals did last night. Well, the railroad people called me up and said, there weren't no vandals. We were tracing those silver lines, tracing our underground wires to update their crossing signals. But curiosity. You know,
curiosity.
You got to have curiosity.
And now one more time for the Angels, the Charlie Evers theme song.
It's time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones, call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles. It may be Hillary's hair. It may be on top of the courthouse. You bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, and good morning to one and all. Yes, he's on again. Oh, at my age, you just wonder sometimes how long he'll be on.
Charlie Evers is survived by his wife, Jeannie, daughters Kathy, Amy, and Angie, and many other devoted family members and friends. Charlie Evers was 85 years old.
And again, we aired that on this station 1 year ago. This is the one-year commemoration date of the death of Charlie Evers. But I wanted to play that again because I thought it was a good encapsulation of his 6 years with us here in a broadcasting career that went well over 50 years. Now, Charlie loved to laugh. So, we cannot get by without playing this clip this morning before our guest gets here for the rest of the program. This happened, I know you know what I'm going to play if you're a regular listener here, December 20th, 2019. It was Charlie's show that day, and our tradition every Christmas is to have eggnog. And the eggnog has a little bit more in it than eggnog. So we'll leave it at that. But we had gotten to the point of the show where maybe that particular day, Charlie had had a little too much eggnog. We all had had a lot of eggnog that day, and it was myself and Sean Kraft and Terry Tackett and Terry Klein were all in the studio, and we decided we were going to take phone calls. We were coming out of a break, and we were discussing the pronunciation of poinsettia. And this happened very spontaneously on December 20th, 2019. Here it is. Take a listen.
Okay, we're back once again here at your Christmas program today. Yes, it sure is Christmas, isn't it?
And we've still got another hour after this.
We do.
The Exchange Club is on.
Oh, that's right, the Exchange Club.
Which will all be, and I heard you saying earlier on how much you really enjoy the Swap Shop theme song.
Oh, don't mention it. Oh, time for Swap Shop. Bring your goods here, we'll sell them for you. Oh, my. I've heard some bad things, but boy, I tell you, that gets up and walks out.
Well, that was a heck of a job. I mean, the poor fellow is, you know, he's mentally challenged.
Yeah.
What? Oh, no. Jeez, that's terrible.
Oh.
Who sings that, don't you? The Swap Shop theme.
Oh, we have an incoming call.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Who sings
Jeez.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you guys in the swap today?
What? Are we in the swap? Yeah, you want to join us in the sauce?
You sound like you're in the sauce today. You're having too much fun.
That's right. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I am doing pretty good.
Yep, you're having too much fun.
Cheer.
All right, so.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, Jesus. We cracked this train. We exactly cracked. We're deep in the sauce today.
Knee deep in the sauce today.
It's 11:48. We need somebody else to put on our card here to give away.
Well, that was one of the funniest moments I can ever remember in the history radio because it was so spontaneous, you know, and only radio can do that. Television is so pre-planned and so preoccupied, you cannot do something like that on, you couldn't have a moment like that. But then again, there are very few broadcasters like Charlie Evers who took chances all the time. So I wanted to make sure this morning as we got underway that we did commemorate the one-year commemoration, I guess is what we will call it, of his passing 1 year ago today at the age of 85. And he's got such a great family, and they're still out there. And I know they listen, his wife Jeannie and his daughters Angie and Kathy and Amy, and they've all been just great. And, of course, Angie's on this station now every Friday night. And it's I know Charlie would be very, 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 very excited and proud about that. So we had to do that, and it's something we enjoyed doing. And you know something interesting? I did not even think about it until this morning when I saw a post. It does not seem like it's been a year. It's been a unique year all the way around, and maybe that's why it doesn't seem like it's been a year. But Charlie was the best. So if anybody has anything to say here before our guest shows up, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And you know what I love? As this year has progressed since Charlie left us, people still remember things that we did with Charlie. People still remember things that he did on this station. Matter of fact, last Friday night, I believe we had a call in where somebody said, I remember where at Christmas time you would have those fruitcake discussions with Charlie and things of that nature. And I remember the gentleman, I believe his name is Genova J, who drives for Genova's, talked about how he used to bring Charlie Moxie. So it's nice that those memories go on and stay very intact. Because just because somebody leaves this life doesn't mean you are gone. I've always thought the way that you live on forever is through other people, their memories of you. As long as they remember you and as long as they still tell stories about you, it is great. And it goes on forever and ever and ever. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say this morning. And we have our you know, I'm very excited that we have our new atomic clock here in the studio. Seems to be working perfectly, and for whatever reason, our old atomic clock has started working, and that's a good thing. So we're happy all the way around here at WWGH Radio on this Monday morning. You know, a week from today is Memorial Day. Can you believe that? 1 week from today is Memorial Day, which, as everybody knows, is the official kickoff of summer. Now, the official first day of summer is June the 21st, which is also the day of the year that we have the longest daylight hours. Now, why we say Memorial Day is the official kickoff to summer, I'm not really sure. Maybe it's because weddings are going on, and usually school is out by Memorial Day, and people have that day off, and they have cookouts and picnics and all of these things. Maybe that's why that's the official kickoff to summer. But summer will come on June the 21st, but a week from today, we will have, of course, official kickoff to summer. Now remember, we won't be on the air next Monday. On Memorial Day, we do not broadcast. That's one of the rare days every year that we do take off. And by the way, if you ever wonder, we take off Christmas Day, New Year's Day, Memorial Day, the 4th of July, Labor Day, Thanksgiving Day, and pretty much that's it. So those are the days every year that we take off. Other than that, we're here on WWGH Radio as often as we can be. Now, the renovations here at the house continue, which is great, as we approach our seven-year milestone on June the 10th. And hopefully, by that point, we will be able to start having visitors around the studio and doing more giveaways and things of that nature. This week, Vax-a-Million gets underway. Now, I did not realize this until last night, that you had... did anybody understand this? That last night, you had to be entered by midnight last night. Now, I guess they're actually going to do the drawing today, but not announce it until Wednesday. That's my understanding. Now, did anybody else understand that? That's how it's going to be done? That your chance to enter is done for the first drawing, but that they're actually going to draw the winner today, but not tell anybody till Wednesday. Is that the understanding? 740-383-9944. And by the way, I have a question about this. Do you have to enter every week? Because some people have asked me about this, and I don't know. Do you have to re-sign up every week? If I entered already, do I have to sign up each and every week for the Vax-a-Million? I don't know. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know if you have to sign up every week or not. I don't know if it's ever said that. I assume everybody who signed up, which I guess was somewhere around a million people, are good for this week's drawing. But I don't know, beyond this week's drawing, how that all works. So does anybody know, do you have to sign up every week? Or once you have signed up, are you good for all five drawings? I really did not understand that. Or see that paperwork anywhere. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Would love to know. Because I'm not quite sure how that works. And I haven't really read how that works yet. So, the question is, do you have to sign up each and every week for Vax-a-Million? Or... once you sign up, are you signed up for the entire thing? Somebody's got to know the answer to this out there. Give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Maybe nobody knows the answer, just like me. Because, it is really, really puzzling. Now, so far, my understanding has been you sign up and you're signed up for all of them. But when people started asking me if you had to sign up every week, I thought, well, I really don't know, to be honest with you. I have not heard anything in that regard to signing up every week. All right, well, we're getting a call here. Maybe this person knows the answer. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, once you register, you're in all five drawings.
Oh, okay. So once you... now, have they said that, or did I just miss that?
They've said it on TV, Channel 10 News, plus I seen them talking to Governor DeWine, and he said it, too, when he was talking.
Okay, so once... now, did you also understand that if you... that you had to be entered by last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're actually going to draw the winner today. They're just not going to announce it till Wednesday.
Yeah, what I understand, yeah.
Yeah. Now, see, so what they will actually do on Wednesday at 7:29, has anybody said yet? Is it, since they will already know who the winner is, they won't have to draw anything out. Is the governor going to announce it? Is somebody from the lottery commission going to announce it? Has anybody said yet?
No, I haven't heard that.
It's all kind of confusing, to be honest.
Once we go through the first one, maybe the rest of them will fall in line. I don't know.
Well, I didn't really... the only thing I saw as to the reason they were drawing this early was so I guess they could check and make sure that the person had been vaccinated, so by the time the drawing takes place on Wednesday, they will have already checked to make sure that they were vaccinated, they are a resident of the state of Ohio, things like that. That was my understanding.
So they're going to get a hold of the health department and check everything? Or call you or something?
Well, I would guess. I think that's why when you signed up, you had to put where you were vaccinated at. And they'll probably check the record that way somehow. I guess. You know, I would assume those vaccination records are on file at the health departments.
I guess that's a good idea, because the last thing they want to do is announce a winner and they not actually be eligible to win. He'd be a laughing stock even worse.
Well, yeah, I don't think you would not want to announce somebody. But I tell you, when this all happens Wednesday night, just wait for Thursday morning. I'll tell you, all these Columbus stations, I would imagine maybe even some national stations will be all over this person as the first Vax-a-Million winner. The newspapers, I'm sure, will be all over it. It's going to be an interesting time.
Yeah, and you can't stay anonymous.
No, I think they will announce your name. I think that was one of the disclaimers that was in the bit when you signed up. So, yeah, if you do win the $1 million, everybody on Thursday is going to know who you are.
Everybody you knew all your life 30 years ago will be getting a hold of you.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. I have been fascinated by, I think, the odds on this are actually better than the regular lottery. Because I think just over 1 million people signed up. So you have, it's a 1 in 1 million chance, which, that's still a big odds.
But a lot better than the lottery, yeah.
Yeah, a lot better than the lottery because people buy multiple tickets for the lottery and everybody's eligible to play the lottery. So the chances on this are a little better. It's only going to happen 5 times and it's only $1 million. But I find it very... very kind of fascinating that the odds are better. And boy, would I love to see somebody from Marion win that money, because it would be great to have that nice feeling come into the community after this year of kind of a mess.
Wonder what they do if you won it twice.
Well, I don't know. Can you win it twice?
Take your name out?
Well, see, I think they probably do take your name out if you win it once. I would guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think you can win 2 million of the 5 million, but and also the college scholarship for the kids. I mean, I think that's going to be a great thing. It would be nice. If one of those drawings ended up here in Marion, one of those winners.
Well, I hope whoever that is kid, it really is going to take advantage of it and. Financially wise, their family really deserves it. I just like the lottery, I hope a millionaire doesn't win the lottery,
Yeah, we don't want to see a lawyer win.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, we'd like to see, somebody maybe who's faced economic hardship during this coronavirus. And I'm not sure what the taxes are on... $1 million. I know you do have to pay the taxes. I'm not sure if it's like 20%. I don't know. I don't really know, because they do consider it income. So I don't know what the percentage ends up being.
You're probably going to be around $700,000, I would estimate.
Which isn't bad.
No.
No, it certainly could turn your life around.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, too, that I don't quite understand about this is that, the state of Ohio got this money to help with coronavirus, getting the word out for vaccinations and all that. So I don't think the state of Ohio has paid any money on the tax, income. So for 5 weeks, I mean, they're going to get taxes on 5 weeks of this. So the state of Ohio is making some money.
They're going to get a good portion of it back.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe that was one of the theories behind it, is that if you would have just used it to advertise vaccines, you would not have gotten any taxes on it.
And be gone, yeah.
Right, and also, I believe the number is $600. I believe you can make $600 and not have to pay taxes on it. So if they would have given every Ohioan a certain amount of money, as long as it was below $600, I don't believe the Ohioans would have had to have paid taxes on it. So making it such a big number and doing it for 5 weeks, you know, it would seem to me that they are going to make quite a bit, hundreds of thousands of dollars back on this.
I think it was a good idea. I think it was, you know, out-of-the-box idea.
It certainly was an out-of-the-box idea. I think the biggest criticisms are coming from the groups that say federal money should not have been used for this, federal money that was used to promote the vaccine and the things of that nature. I think that was a big part of it. And I think also a big part of it is with Governor DeWine running for re-election, was this a political move to do this?
Well, it's possible, yeah. But I think Governor DeWine's done a good job. I'm really not a Republican, but I think since he's been governor, he has done a good job.
Well, I think a lot of people in his party are not particularly thrilled with him. Now, I don't know that for sure, but, you know, Governor Strickland was on last week and said he had heard this, and Nan Whaley was on Friday, and I believe she said similar things. And I do believe there are, well, the legislature certainly has not been happy with him. They've tried to pass many, many bills that would have limited his power and have tried to overthrow his health orders. So, I don't know. I don't think he's probably on the best footing with his party.
Well, he doesn't act like he really cares.
Well, I would think he would care at election time.
Yeah.
Because if you want to get reelected, you've got to win over the majority of votes, and if you don't have that machine in your party working for you...
Well, they could withhold funding for him, too.
Well, that's true. You know, are a lot of the big fundraisers going to be angry about how he has handled coronavirus? We really don't know the answers to a lot of these questions as of yet.
Because the party itself actually, you know, helps a lot of candidates with financial, you know, besides just regular donors that give money.
Well, they do. A lot of money is raised through the parties and donors and things of that nature, and I don't know who they will. It all comes down to if there will be a primary in that Republican Party, and a lot of people seem to feel that there might be.
I'd like to see the Nan Whaley, the mayor of Dayton. I think she'd be a good choice for mayor.
What did you make of her when she was on Friday?
Oh, I really like listening to her. And she's pretty, you know, knowledgeable about everything. And her, you know, just the way she thinks, you know, I like it.
Yeah, well, she certainly had a lot to say, and I appreciated her coming on, because what I am starting to notice is it seems like a lot of politicians, certainly the ones running for governor and former Governor Strickland, are being a lot more candid in what they say. They don't seem to be holding back as much as maybe they had in the past, saying what they believe. And I thought Governor Strickland did that last week. I thought Nan Whaley did that last week. I thought a lot of people have been a lot more candid than maybe they have in the past.
The only thing about DeWine is he wasn't outspoken enough with Trump. You know, with the insurrection and the whole ball of wax, you know. These politicians, they're counting on Trump voters voting for them, too. And they don't want to piss any of the Trump voters off. They want to get that vote, you know. It's like Liz Cheney and Kasich and Romney and, you know, people that, you know, speak up. You know, I admire.
Well, yeah, but I, in Ohio at this point, I don't know if going against the grain is, will mean anything at this point.
No, but you got to do the right thing, you know. Regardless whether, you know, you want those votes or not, you got to do what's right for the country. Not what's right, going to be right politically for you. That's why you was elected. To do, you know, for the people.
But do you think the people of Ohio do want it that way? I mean, if you look at the numbers, we went pretty overwhelmingly for Trump. So maybe the people of Ohio do want it that way. I still see signs up everywhere I go.
Well, not very many anymore.
Well, I'm shocked that it has been, what, 7 months now since the election day, and I was in Cardington, drove through Cardington this past weekend, saw two big Trump banners still out there. When I was over in Russell's Point, I saw the Trump banners. I saw the new Trump 2024 signs out there. Our hats, a few weeks ago when I was in Amish country, I saw the Trump 2024 signs on sale over there. You know, they're certainly still out there.
Yeah, you still have some support, and I think the biggest support he gets is from people that are tired of foreigners coming over to this country. You know, I don't know too many poor foreigners. But, you know, a lot of foreigners are doctors, own businesses here in Marion, you know, but I don't know of anybody from India or somebody like that that's here in Marion that's poor, that's, you know, they come over, you know, and I think the Democrats need to, you know, get off this issue of everybody can, you know, enter this country and we'll just pay for everybody. But, you know, they come over to this country and we bend over backwards. We give them money to start businesses. And a caller on there said one day if a person didn't know, couldn't speak English, we give them money. You come over this country, you know, you leave your scars and everything over, and if you want to come to our country, you come here to be a part of us. You know, not to bring your religion over this country to make this country go backwards. You know, I don't care if they want to go by their, if this country went by religion, we wouldn't be teaching evolution, we wouldn't be teaching a lot of stuff in schools, we'd be backwards and, you know, the same way they are. But, you know, religion and politics in the government is supposed to be two different things.
Well, I guess it depends on who you are at this point.
Yeah,
it depends on how you feel. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah,
thank you. All right, we're going to break. Be back in 15 minutes.
Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott? Oh, wow. Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.